This is Julius Mars, a pro-China travel vlogger paid by the CCP. Just kidding, he's actually one of the few people who's been to China and was, well, brave enough to report on what actually happened while he was there. While most of YouTube that you see outside of a few people are trying to paint the China story really well, well, Julius's experience was a little bit different.
Is it illegal to talk bad about the government? Is he calling the police on me or what? After that question, he's calling somebody now. So on my Instagram, I posted a short clip of this video of this guy getting nervous, calling somebody after asking this question, and it went totally viral. It broke the internet, over 40 million views.
So this encounter almost got him in jail, and so I had to reach out and find out what exactly happened, what was going on through his mind, and what led to this encounter with the taxi driver.
Was that the first time you've ever been to China?
First time, yeah. First time.
Wow. What made you want to go?
I was already in Japan, and I had to leave because I was running out of my visa. I was like, where can I go interesting? You know, where, you know, I've heard a lot about China. It seems like an interesting place. And I was just curious. I wanted to go see it for myself. You know, I heard the news, what the news said, and I heard like what the media said. But me, I like to actually go to a place, ask people questions, talk to the locals. You know, that's kind of my mindset. It's I want to hit boots on the ground and, you know, ask people directly, not just what the media says. And so that's why I was like curious. I was genuinely curious. I'm not going to make a hit piece. I'm not going to, you know, slander anybody. I like to just ask questions and have discussions. And that's what I was doing with the taxi driver. It was my last day in China. You know, and I was heading to the airport. There was no tone of debate. There was no tone of any form of malice. I was just curious. And this is nothing out of the ordinary for me because I always ask questions out of curiosity and I like to have discussions. I heard of Chinese people being like, this is fake news, information. You know, I have a list here. I wrote down the main things that their points were, but he didn't even call the police. He called his friend. Why are you harassing him? You shoved the camera in his face. Why are you going to China to start political debates? Mm-hmm. You know, you're making him feel uncomfortable. And I was kind of shocked by these comments. I'm like, hang on a minute. I'm starting a political debate. If you open your ears, you realize I'm just asking a basic, simple question. Like, what do you mean I'm starting a political debate? You know, and so many people are like, you're harassing him because you shoved a camera in his face. First of all, I have a 4K camera. My camera is very far away from the car as possible from his face. So people think that I'm harassing him by like shoving it in his face. It's actually as far away as possible in the car that it can get. He knows that I'm recording the whole time and he doesn't tell me to stop. So like I started to notice like, wow, there's some really angry Chinese people in these comments and they're very loud about their opinions. This is fake. You're from the three-letter agency. You get paid by the CIA. Like, oh, this is another Western propaganda. You know, and I'm still waiting for my check from the CIA. So
check out Julius's channel as he just released the full version where he and I break down what happened frame by frame and go into the details on what was said. I translated for him. And mom, get the camera because we're on Douyin. Yep, we've made it to Chinese internet. And of course, there's with these kind of videos, we're for sure drawing a lot of CCP spam bot accounts and a wave of just sheer hatred, even racism towards us, and a lot of times very shocking lies being told. It's hilarious how unconfident they are about their country that they need to send out massive numbers of Chinese usernames to try to defend the name of the CCP, when in reality, a simple question was asked. Now, people are wondering, is this question so offensive? Well, not really. If you are outside of North Korea and China, this is a very normal question. If you go to New York and you ask a cab driver, can you criticize the government? Is it illegal to criticize the US government? You'll probably get a reply really quickly, and you'll likely see the cab driver even, you know, follow along with the criticisms because the American society and many other countries are open pages for you to see. Whereas China, They have to be 100% perfect. The reason is Chinese people today are very afraid. They're self-censoring. They want to distance themselves from the criticism or whatever the case itself is because they don't want to get in legal trouble or go to jail, because in China, the government can really decide how the outcome of a lawsuit is. And in turn, you know, you can get into a lot of trouble. So most people try to avoid it. If you're somebody like the taxi driver who clearly has to deal with foreigners, tourists all the time, the case might seem like he's under a lot of pressure. And we actually in the video talk about how he tried to immediately distance himself from being associated with Julius. And in turn, he also plays the bad guy by reporting Julius. So my first thought when I saw the whole video was that the cab driver definitely thought Julius was a spy for the questions he asked. And people in the comments are arguing, oh, he didn't call the police station and that he was trying to phone a friend, or he was trying to phone his superior at work, his taxi company, or something like that.
This is not a friend. Like, his friend would know he's a taxi driver. Like, you wouldn't say, hey, I'm a taxi driver. Like, your friend would know that.
Yeah, Julius, like, okay, let's say you're my buddy for 10 years, right? I call you, I'm gonna be like, hey, bro, or I'm gonna be like, yo, what's up? Like, something like that. You know, I don't be like, hello, my name is David, I am a Uber driver, and I am carrying a Chinese guy in the car. You know, I don't do that, right? That's not how you talk. Like I said in the original video on his channel, I'm not 100% sure that it is the police station he phoned, but it is somebody who can get to the police really fast, because from the exchange, the taxi driver was asking if they can get the police to go to the airport when they arrive. So this person on the other side, who by the way is a woman, has the ability to get the police there. Oh, okay. You guys were heading to the Shanghai Pudong Airport, and he's saying, do you guys want to send police to the number one terminal if needed? Okay, so, but this is definitely not a friend, because the way that they were talking, once we have a friendship going, I don't just call you and be like, hey, hello, my friend, blah, 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 you know, Brian or Johnny or whatever. And say, hey, I'm a taxi driver. Even though we're friends, you probably know what I do. Or just, you know, that's just not how friends talk. So this whole friend thing is definitely a false, and they're trying to make up a lie about it. Whether that's the police or some other hotline, there's really no way to tell, because at the time that he called, Julius's voice was interfering with it, so nobody can really hear it correctly. Specifically, I want to address this very long comment, which suggests apparently I only did 95% of the right translation, and the 5% that I'm intentionally trying to skew is what's causing this lost in translation to take place. So I'm going to address the 4 points he made and tell you why this person seems like he's being fair, but in reality, he's also trying to blur this whole concept of what's actually being said. So let's read this together. This one says, the translator is 95% accurate, but the remaining 5% completely changes the story. Number one, what number did the driver call? The driver did not call the police. In Shanghai, emergency numbers like the police hotline are answered within seconds, so there's no way the call would have been on hold for so long. It is highly likely that the driver called 12345, which is the government service hotline. This hotline serves as a consultation service, guiding people to the appropriate department for various issues. It accepts all kinds of inquiries, including this one. That's why the operator told the driver to call the police, because they're not the police. Okay, so immediately, we know that you can call the police for non-emergency issues. So that's not something that's just, you have to call 911 or the equivalent in China, which is 119. You don't have to always be in emergency to contact the police department. And because in China, taxi drivers are people who deal with like tourists and foreigners, they get special training and they know exactly who to call. So that's why I'm saying, even if it's not the police station, it is a place where they can immediately reach the police. And later, the taxi driver himself says, can you get the police to come to Terminal 1 at Shanghai Pudong Airport? He himself asked if they can get that done. So you don't just call a consultation service that's not related to this and then expect them to be able to dispatch the police, right? And then what the driver got in response from the woman on the other side of the phone was that, call us when you get there, which he was assured that that was going to happen when he arrives. So when this is not something that's just like, I'm trying to make it up, right? Nobody knows who he called during the entire engagement, but the fact that they're able to mobilize the police to some level means Of course, they're connected to the police station. The second question, the second point he makes, why did the driver make this call? Similar to the Red Scare in history, a foreign spy scare is now quite common among ordinary people, just as China is often demonized in the West. The driver was likely seeking advice in the situation. Since the government service hotline didn't have the definitive answer, they simply suggested calling the police. Okay, so again, the first part is if you ask an American Uber driver, you will not have to call somebody up to get an answer to that question, because the answer is a yes or no question. Or if you want to have a discussion, of course you can. Pinning this on a so-called foreign spy scare, well, guess who is the one that's actually promoting this? It is the CCP, right? You get a reward for up to 500,000 yuan or 87 or 82,000 US dollars when converted for reward when you report a foreign spy. So this is a system that encourages people to try to reveal who the spies are, even if they're not a real spy, right? You can get reported for this. This has happened many times already. And so the so-called scare that they're experiencing is not a scare at all. It's a long-term hatred and propaganda process. People in China have been brainwashed into believing that they have to hate Americans, hate Japanese. So of course, when an American guy gets into the car, his first thinking is not that this guy is friendly. Yeah, that's definitely true. But that's not because there's a scare of the Americans. It's because they're all simply taught that these people are just bad people. Again, the second point here says that the government hotline didn't have the definitive answer. In some part is true, but also not, because again, the taxi driver believes that these people can get them the police to come when they arrive. So again, this is somebody that's able to mobilize the police to go there. That's not some simple, again, directory call like the 311 for New York City or something like that. Okay, point number three, are taxis recorded? Yes, most taxis in China have audio and video recording. However, passengers are informed about this, and the purpose is not to monitor people. Instead, the recordings exist for the taxi company to handle potential disputes between drivers and passengers. I don't know why this was one of the points. I already said that they do this, but not every company does that, right? Most of them do. Okay, number four, the last point. Can someone be arrested for criticizing the government? Yes, all BBC journalists in China have been arrested. Just kidding. In reality, the police only arrest people who have a high social impact and are actively pushing for political change, such as democracy or elections. Whoa, those are people apparently having high social impacts. They don't care about individuals with low social influence or those merely criticizing government bureaucracy or inefficiency. In this case, even if the police did stop the person, it's impossible they would be arrested. At most, they might receive a warning, but likely nothing would happen. So this is simply not true. They do care about anyone that tries to shame the Chinese government in any form, especially those that are able to make videos, right? We saw there were cases if they were trying to report that a local police officer was harassing them, they sent them to the mental hospital. If you're a dissident and you try to petition for change, or if you're a petitioner and you try to go to Beijing, they either follow you, they send you home, they arrest you. So these are nobodies, right? Not even the prominent like religious leaders or democracy movement leaders in China. Those people, well, they simply are sent to jail, right? They're disappeared. So it's the case that they're trying to say is that, oh yeah, China is not as bad as you as it sounds. That's simply not true. You trying to criticize the government will land you in trouble, whether that's a talk with the police, whether you now have to actually serve jail time, or in some cases, you're exiled, right? You're forced to be exiled from China. So the consequences are very severe. In some cases, you even have the so-called social credit system, which, again, it's not a widespread thing. But if you get on the no confidence list, yeah, you could probably be banned from buying like a train ticket or a plane ticket. So this happens especially because they can mark your ID and things like that with special indicators, so you cannot take like the Chinese high-speed bullet trains, etc. So these things do happen to people who are associated or are directly involved with the so-called change, right? And China doesn't allow democracy, doesn't allow freedom of speech. What happens to the people who are participating in the white paper protest? They've been disappeared. What happens to people who practice a religion? Well, if they are actually truly against recanting their beliefs, they're sent to the jail, to prison, without a proper trial in many cases. That's what happened to a lot of Falun Gong practitioners during the 1999 persecution when it began. It's not ended. But during this process in the earlier years, many were sent to jail without a proper trial for simply trying to practice an exercise, a meditation exercise. It happens with the Uyghurs as well. It happens with the Christians, Buddhists. So to say that, oh yeah, they don't care about ordinary people, that's the population that they're the most afraid of in China. And there's also some people claiming that he is calling the head of the taxi like a supervisor or a manager or something. Again, this is really ridiculous because if you work for this company, right, you've at least met the manager once or twice. Maybe they don't remember who you are, but at least you wouldn't be saying things like, oh yeah, I'm a taxi driver. Hello, boss. Okay, jokes aside, okay, they're not calling the taxi supervisor. That's just not how things work. Oh yeah, okay, let's say you work for a company, right? When you call your boss, do you go like, hey boss, I'm a taxi driver at your company. I've never, you know, spoken with you. There's internal communication set up. In China, everybody uses WeChat. For you to call somebody that's not a part of your work circle, that makes sense. But if they're part of your work circle, like they're probably in a group chat with you, or you can just call them on WeChat or something like that, you know? So this is definitely, again, one of those excuses they're trying to say that it's not the police. Or, you know, just tell them your driver number, right? It doesn't make sense that this is a dispatcher or a supervisor or whatever the case may be. So at the end of the day, I think these people who are trying to make up excuses, being offended by a simple question like this, tells you a lot about the state of China and the fact that they're using so much effort to go after Julius for him making this video. I think it's pretty ridiculous, but also quite funny that, you know, a person who films a short encounter like this is capable of drawing the attention of the entire Chinese government. He also told me a story, which I won't share in too much details for the sake of the safety of that other person. But yeah, that person is trying to distance himself from Julius because of what happened. They've been spoken to in China. They've been threatened by the officials. So it's something that's very serious for many people. And I can, you know, nothing against the taxi driver, in my opinion, because I really think that he's just trying to fend for himself, whatever he can to get out of the situation. But it's the system that's in place. And unfortunately, that's the reality of China, which is also, again, so rare for people. These American YouTubers or non-American YouTubers go to China. All they see is just the beautiful China. All they're showing is just the perfection of China, right? Where's the imperfection? Of course, they don't dare to say it because they're paid by the CCP to do these videos. Whereas Julius, as you can tell, was not. And yeah, I think that's a huge difference. So thanks for watching this episode. Leave your thoughts in the comment below and subscribe to our channel if you haven't already. Also, again, check out Julius Marsh's channel, link in the description here, for the entire full video of this taxi encounter. Thanks again for watching. Bye-bye.